Well, good morning. You're listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. Welcome to Living Well, a show that explores the many ways we can live well in our lives. I'm your host, Dr. Bob, and I'm honored to introduce you to the Asheville locals who inspire us to live well. Programming support is brought to you by Vickery Family Medicine. Vickery Family Medicine specializes in whole family health care, including pediatrics, women's health, and sports medicine. They are an independently owned primary care office offering walk-in hours 7 days a week. For more info, go to VickeryFamilyMed.com. Well, good morning, everyone. Could it be any more beautiful in the Blue Ridge Mountains right now? My goodness. Thoroughly enjoyed my weekend. I hope you did too. Asheville FM is actually celebrating. They had a fantastic weekend as we finished our Asheville FM Spring Fund Drive, and we had quite the audacious goal of $32,000. And I have to be honest, I kind of had my doubts we were going to make it. Seemed like a lot of money, and but you did it. You pulled through Asheville and beyond. Thank you so much for your donations, which is just more affirmation and support, of what we are able to do in our community and the quality music and programming that we're able to bring you. And it's just so good, to know that so many out there are listening and willing to support, public radio. So again, From Asheville FM and myself, thank you so much for supporting us. I am excited to welcome my guest today, David Wilcox, to Living Well. I have to say, I'm a little nervous. I followed David's music way back when he was just just so mesmerizing on stage. His storytelling, his heartfelt lyrics, just really blew me away. And here he is sitting right across from me in the Asheville FM studios with a guitar in his lap. And it's so good to have you here today, David.
Thank you. Thanks for welcoming me.
Yeah. So you've been doing this now 20 years or so. Is that right, or longer?
Probably 30.
30 years.
Yeah, and I love that we're talking about living well, because when I started out playing music, my goal was not music. My goal was to feel as good in my life as I felt when I heard a good song.
Mm.
And when I started this, nothing in my life felt as good as a good song. But now it does. And I think I have sort of sung myself sane song by song. I write the songs that I want to live up to. I write the songs that make me aware of what my heart is yearning for.
Yeah.
And I let myself be held accountable by those songs. So I can't forget the goals that I make about wanting to feel at home in this life, in my skin, and in this time.
Yeah, and even being home, I suppose, with the struggles, right? With the challenges,
sure.
With the darkness that comes along with living well.
I was thinking when we were listening to the news just then that I have a song about the choice that I have in my life about what to do with my frustration and my anger about all that's wrong and all that's broken and all that needs to be, mm-hmm. Strive to work to change. So I could start by playing that song if that sounds good to you.
This is your show, David.
All right.
You get to call the shots today.
And we'll see how this goes. This is a song that compares and contrasts the way my dad dealt with anger, which was to stuff it all inside and let it eat away at him, versus the way my mom dealt with anger, which was actually using it as a fuel for change. My daddy grumbled at the news he read. The politicians didn't care. They never heard a single word he said when he would curse them from his chair. He'd punch a fist at the Naga hide like he was trying to pick a fight. He thought his misery was justified. He bore the weight of being right. He drank the anger down like poison. Burn every tear he never cried. He felt the rage inside. It made him sick and tired. Long, slow suicide. My mama always got her anger out, up and at him on her feet. She quit the quiet desperation route. She had to take it to the street. She held the line at the teacher's strike. My own mama kicked a cop. She knew that shoving people wasn't right, and she had asked him twice to stop. She turned her outrage into action. She burned a passion like a flame, blazed it like a fuel, used it like a tool. Shine a light to make a change. My daddy never joined a protest march. He made a fortress of his home. Had his computer sitting in the dark. He fought his battles all alone. I hear him yelling, "I told you so." He'd just be cursing at the screen. His bitter fury had nowhere to go. The venom only made him mean. He drank the anger down like poison. Burn every tear he never cried. He felt the rage inside. It made him sick and tired. Long, slow suicide. Long, slow suicide.
Wonderful.
Thanks.
And that's from the new album, The View from the Edge.
Actually, it's not.
No?
I just love to play songs that aren't on the new record because that's the stuff that's current for me.
Okay.
So, it's what, true what, the new record is not
I thought
even
that, I thought it was
old.
On because I listened to the new record this morning, but I guess I heard a couple extras too while I was, while I was listening.
I love to play the songs that...
Or did you write a song on the new record about not wanting to pass your anger?
Oh, yeah. Chain of Anger.
Chain of Anger. It was the other. That was one, I guess, I was thinking about another one about, you know, another, you know, we're both, you know, fathers here and thinking about, you know, about not wanting to pass all that toxicity. Right. I'm surprised to even hear, you know, I guess you're not surprised so much, but, you know, your dad did have so much anger and yet, you know, you found your way through that.
Well, he would tell stories of his dad's anger, and I felt lucky because his dad's anger was really crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy mixed with righteous, religious kind of, you know, stuff. It was,
And just so beautiful to how you described your mother's way of transforming, you know, her anger into positive change and action.
I remember the dinner table conversation. I think my brother was probably 15 and I was maybe 13, and my mom's describing, you know, like this line of police officers that was trying to make a wedge and push through the picket line. So she's casually explaining about how she kicked him in the shins, and my brother says, "What? You kicked a cop? That is so wild." And, and my mom just kind of gives this kind of little pout and says, well, he pushed me.
and now you've you have memorialized the moment in song.
Yeah.
And so did mom appreciate the?
I think she loved the little bit of street cred that she got from that from my brother. Yeah, yeah, because my brother was quite the revolutionary back then.
Yeah. Well, my kids, you know, they I got involved in the Keystone XL kind of protest and ended up getting arrested for it. And, you know, and wasn't really thinking about, you know, hey, my kids are going to be kind of, you know, taking this in from their perspective. And like, you know, and now they have a parent that's been arrested and handcuffed and taken to jail. Well, it's actually not the first time, but they don't know about the first time yet. But, you know, but again, you know, seeing, you know, direct action and democracy in action.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
It's empowering.
Yeah. Do you have some issues that you stay on top of that kind of keep you up at night, you know, or, you know, in this kind of crazy political and, you know, and environmental and landscape that we live in?
I would love to sing you one that is, for me, a fascinating window into how to stay sane and not burn out when you're working for a cause.
We so need this.
And to me, the way I come at music has always been partly the work that I do and partly the refuge that I need. Because what music offers is not just a voice to shout out what's wrong, but it's also a place to remember the best feelings of like what we're headed for and why, what we're striving for. So,
just hold those moments a little longer, right?
So this is called The Beautiful, and it's about using the image of a frame around a painting. It's talking about how, we can't change the whole world, not just one of us, but we can change the world around us. I'm looking at the paintings in this great museum. The news of one more shooting made me long to cry. I'd love to work for justice and for peace and freedom, but right now I need a refuge that is quiet and dry. So I come to see the beauty when the world is tragic. An umbrella stops the rain, but it won't dry the sky. This play of light and shadow is transcendent magic, and it changes the whole universe, at least inside. In the ocean deep, when these waves are steep, every hope I keep betrays me. It's the beautiful that saves me. So I'm walking past these priceless works of famous artists, but in between their canvases, it's cold white wall. These painters found a crucible for their catharsis, but they knew that no rendition could contain it all. I'm fearful of the riptide in the sea of sorrow, and I don't have any faith to make these waters part. But if I venture out there, I would drown a martyr, and it feels so overwhelming I can barely start. In the ocean deep, when these waves are steep, every hope I keep betrays me. It's the beautiful that saves me. Now the woman at the coat check hands me back my raincoat. Stay warm out there, she smiles and looks me in the eye. I take her simple kindness like we're in the same boat, and we all need some protection from the storm outside. We are underneath a cloud of all this dark emotion, but I'll make it through the storm because I've warmed my heart. A wooden hull can rest above a deep, dark ocean, and a window into beauty is a place to start. In the ocean deep, when these waves are steep, every hope I keep betrays me. It's the beautiful that saves me. It's the beautiful that saves me.
That's amazing, David.
Thank you.
Such a hypnotic finger pattern that goes along with that song. You know, I was thinking about, you know, that just beautifulness of the place we live, you know, just walking over to the studio today and just springtime in these mountains is always something to behold. I grew up in Southern California, so I wasn't accustomed to these springs and these mountains. And I wonder for you, David, what keeps you in Asheville and keeps this home for you?
Well,
you know you've been here a long time.
We were 2 years traveling full time with our son and our dog in an Airstream trailer. And when we left, we were open to where we might land, but we never found a place we liked better than Asheville. So we came back. And there were some towns that were sort of in the running, but they didn't have the whole combination. And the whole combination for me, it's a subtle thing. There are different sort of facets of my personality that get brought out by different energies, by different towns. And sometimes that feels really novel and fun. But when I come back to Asheville, it's sort of like when you're getting a massage and, you know, you lie down on the table and you relax and then the massage begins and then you realize, whoa, I'm holding a lot of tension. But then you relax again and then you relax again and each level is deeper and each level is a surprise. You're unaware of the tension you're holding. And so the fascinating thing about when I come back to Asheville is, you know, I love those other towns, and yet there's something in Asheville where I feel nurtured and kind of held by these mountains. These are very kind mountains.
Very feminine mountains.
You can camp anywhere, you know. It's always easy to find a flat spot with no rocks, whereas, you know, if you're hiking in the Rockies, you might have to go quite a ways unless you got a hammock. So I feel like there is something so kind about this land. And I love the upheaval. I love the rocks at an angle. Like you drive 5 hours west and you're in Nashville. And Nashville is all horizontal rock. Everything is sedimentary, and everything is like, we know who's on top, we know who's on the bottom, and it's never going to change. But Asheville has this wild sort of, yes, the tectonic forces are at work, and, you know, the high will be brought down, and the low will be lifted up, and it has this powerful sort of like revolutionary sort of feel to it. I love the whole energy of this place.
Yeah. And the human spirit that also seems to find its way into this collection. Interesting phenomenon when you think about, you know, what most of the South looks like, and yet here's this little Asheville hiding out in the mountains.
We know all these people who have this story about like, yeah, I came here for the weekend 20 years ago.
Yeah. It was my wife that really wanted to be here. She just thought we'd love living with all this green space and, you know, being close to all that the East Coast has to offer. And so we made the big jump from the West Coast to the East Coast, and I've been here now almost 15 years or so, it seems. So it's a good
place. Have you heard Chuck Brodsky's song, The Come Here's and the Been Here's?
No, I don't think so.
It's a lovely song. It's all about the wild sort of tensions and acceptance and the whole aggregate of cultures here. It's really fun. I have a song about leaving home and coming back that may serve, especially since we've been talking about politics and working for change. There's this song that is about this cousin of mine who took off to France when things got a little, you know, frustrating for her, seeing the arguments that were happening in her family and amongst her friends, political arguments and the whole sort of rise of all this animosity and anger. And she got a job offer and she left. And it was nice to get an invitation, you know, come visit, come see where I'm living. And it's beautiful. But when I met her expatriate friends and they were talking so cynically, it made me yearn to come back here and be part of the change. And that's what this song is about. Different kind of cold front, a different kind of freeze. And my Midwestern cousin, she starts working overseas. She left the ones who raised her in that rolling prairie land, 'cause her home felt so divided with a strain she could not stand. She used to come with flowers to our great-grandparents' graves. She remembers watching amber dancing windy wheat field waves. The summer air so fragrant with the scent of the coming rain. She'll always love her country, but these days it brings her pain. Anger blew in like the snow, the home she used to know from so long ago, now divided, bitter as the cold, nothing good can grow. So one-sided. She walks me through her new town, this village by the bay. I take 100 pictures, but she sees this every day. I met a few expatriates, friends that she has known, and I understand their bitterness, the way things are back home. Anger blew in like the snow, the home she used to know from so long ago, now divided, bitter as the cold, nothing good can grow. So one-sided. I've had a grand vacation, but I know it's time to leave. I still can make the springtime and I'll sow the heirloom seed. I'd love to see our country as these days begin to warm. If our hope is planted deep enough, we'll make it through this storm. Anger blew in like the snow, the home we used to know from so long ago, now divided, bitter as the cold, nothing good can grow. Anger blew in like the snow, the home we used to know from so long ago, now divided, bitter as the cold, nothing good can grow. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Nothing good can grow. So one-sided.
That's David Wilcox. Folks, I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am. You're listening to Living Well, and I'm your host, Dr. Bob, and the Sunrise Coalition for Recovery and Wellness is dedicated to assisting persons with mental illness and substance abuse problems and those returning to the community from incarceration. They provide moral recognition therapy and wellness recovery action plans, as well as warm information line for health and social system navigation. More info on their Facebook page or go to www.sunriseinasheville.org or call 828- 552-3858. So, David, your new album, great name, View from the Edge.
Yes.
I was thinking that with that song right there.
Yeah.
You know, so much looking out from the edge and, yeah, and you know, and seeing this divide and trying to figure out what to do about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did you discover in A View from the Edge that kind of felt new or felt, you know, important
That's
to you?
That's a great question. I love how these songs look at the choices that I have.
Yeah.
'Cause a lot of what brings us agony is thinking that things should be different when really those are choices we don't have. And so how do we keep our life energized to be part of, you know, the good?
Yeah.
And
tell us, David.
Well, I have a song about that. This song came from this beautiful moment where Nance and I had this romantic dinner, and we come out of the restaurant. It happens to be in Los Angeles.
Yeah, my hometown.
And so, you know, it's warm, and it's February, and that still feels miraculous for an Ohio boy. So Nance and I don't want to just get in the car and go back to the freeway. We want to kind of let this moment linger. So we are embracing, and we notice that it's a little too busy on the sidewalk for a real good smooch. So we just kind of take a few steps around the corner of the restaurant. There's a little sort of alleyway. And so it's nice and dark, and we're beginning our embrace. And you know, the thing about Los Angeles, it's never too outrageous to suddenly hear a police helicopter at very low altitude,
yes,
like buzzing the tops of the buildings. And here we are in the alley, kind of protected by these buildings around us. But suddenly the police helicopter is directly above us, and they switch on that amazingly bright light. And it's
like a spotlight
blazing, and the rotors are kicking up all this dust in the alley. And the natural reaction when surrounded by ambient anger would be to run for cover.
Run for your life.
But my wife is more spiritually evolved than me. And she holds my face in her two hands, and she kind of briefly looks up with this dismissive look at that ambient anger, and she tenderly kisses me. And I thought, this is what I want to live. I want to live this choice of when most people are bunkering down in their silos and their shelters, this is the time to love bravely. This is the time to get out and know your neighbors and know your town. This is the time to feel like you have this courage of knowing who you are, and knowing that the force of our love and our connection is somehow stronger than all this. And so I tried to sing this, and I love the way it came out. I gotta get out from under the... I gotta get out from under the madness. Everyone always under the gun, feeling the weight of everything wrong. Anxiety getting loud, pounds like a hell of a helicopter, hovering over the alley, cutting the beam tight into the dark night, shooting a white light brighter than all of the sun. Suddenly everyone under the hell of a helicopter's got no place to run. Got no place to run. Don't run here. We kiss on the lips, pressing our hips to this joy. We'll be deep in this bliss to keep out the noise of the anger and fear surrounding us here. That feels like a hell of a copter coming after, hovering over us up in the air, hammering down a thundering sound. A hovering hell of a copter, chopping the wind, beating the flat ground, kicking the dirt in the alley, cutting the beam tight into the dark night, shooting a white light brighter than all of the sun. Suddenly everyone under the hell of a helicopter's got no place to run. Got no place to run. Don't run. Here we kiss on the lips, leaning into this trust. We'll be closing our eyes to keep out the dust. I want to be fearless in the resistance, fighting the current to covet the gold, turning the heart so bitterly cold. It's gonna get even colder if I surrender the one thing under my soul control. I got a clear mind given a short time. I want to live love no matter what I've been through. I can decide not to be terrified and live to try the good I always knew, the good I came to do. Here we won't disappear. All that fear, they can fly. We'll see. We can laugh through these tears, brave till we die. They can't make us hide. Here we won't disappear.
It's such a Hollywood moment, David. This, yeah. You know, in the alleyway and the dust blowing and the spotlight down, and getting a big smooch. So that's great. So you've written how many albums have you?
More than 20.
More
it depends
than 20,
how you count, because
yeah.
Some of them are download only.
Yeah. And do you tend to, like, in your own mind, rank your albums? Like, this is my favorite. This is, you know, like, how do you kind of set them apart and, you know, and hold yourself kind of accountable to, you know, your own creativity and standards of, you know, hey, this is a great album, you know? And because I really feel like something with A View from the Edge, there's something special about it. I mean, you've done so many albums, but you listen to just that song. It's that really creative kind of rhythmic beat, you know, that's just kind of got a little something special to it.
Well, I do love this new one.
It's got
the View
really.
From the Edge is inspiring to me.
Yeah.
And I've always loved the new one best, it seems. But it's weird now that the old records are old, like really old. I'm starting to have some mercy for the mistakes I made making those records. You know, I still hear a little note that's flat or whatever. And but I see it like an old photograph. You know, it's not me, but it's who I was. And it's a good version of who I was. And there is something fascinating about that thing, about being dissatisfied with every record I've ever made. And I think it's a good thing. I think that there is a process of learning whenever you make a record.
Yes.
And the learning means that by the time you finish the record, you're a better musician, which means that when you listen to the record, you think, oh, it's not as good as I could do. And that should always be true. But the problem with that is you look back on the record and you hear how you could do it better now. And it's beautiful in a way, having a craft that is so elusive. You know, there is no sort of road to follow to become more like myself, because no one's ever had to do it before. So I'm kind of like bushwhacking and sort of getting a little lost here and there and finding my way.
Well, it's the true genre of a folk musician, right? To really be authentically yourself. And yet, you know, there's only so many rules in folk music. Or at least maybe guidelines, huh?
There are some, playfully I say, there are some hard and fast rules in my book. Like, for example... if you can walk from the car to the venue one trip, that's folk music. If you have to go back to the car to get another thing, no, that's not folk music anymore.
It's truly improvising.
It has
in so
to be,
many ways.
It has
yeah.
to be what you can carry. Yeah. It has to be stuff you can sort of take with you under your own power.
And are you always on the lookout for a song?
You
know, just like there was something I said that kind of before while David was getting settled into his seat. Oh, that's a good line right there.
Yeah.
You know, that it just catches you in that way because you're just actively looking for the next song.
Yeah. I scan the sidewalk for shiny things and I scan conversations for shiny things. And I love seeing people whose lives find a way of changing, a cathartic moment, a powerful transition. Mm-hmm. I notice those things. I hear people tell their stories, and I'm wondering how this will serve, how this could be vitamins for the spirit.
Yeah. And so, you know, tell us about another song.
Okay. Let's see. I love... see what tuning I'm in. We talked about that Chain of Anger song. I could play that.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating song because
you're kind of talking to yourself. Am I right that you're kind of talking to yourself in the?
Well, in the song there are there's basically a couple characters.
Yes, and they get a little confusing.
It goes generation by generation. When I wrote this song, I wrote it just as a way of understanding how everything could change so quickly. We were at a family reunion. We had just gotten on the elevator. It was my dad and my mom and me and Nance and Nate, who was probably 4 years old at the time, and my brother and his wife. And we punched our button for the floor, and the door started to close, and somebody was running for the elevator, and he said, "Hold the door." And I made that motion with my hand between the doors, and that triggered the doors to open again. And my son saw that and thought it was some sort of magic, some Jedi trick. And so when the door started to close again, when the guy got on and punched his floor, Nate took his little four-year-old hand and passed it in front of the doors, and the doors opened. Now, the doors are four times as big as him, but the power of his four-year-old hand had made them part. So he looks up at me with bliss and then worry as he hears my dad start to grumble. And I hear my dad start to grumble, too. And, of course, my dad's just embarrassed because he doesn't want to hold up this other guy. So it's coming out as anger, like it always does. And so I try to sort of hang on to my son so he won't do it again. And I'm trying to communicate sort of through my hand, like, "Hey, Nate, let's get Grandpa to his room and we'll come back and play with the elevator." But sure enough, as the doors start to close the third time, Nate kind of drops down and spins free from my grasp and does this kind of Power Ranger kick, and the doors open up again. And now my dad is yelling, and he's stepping toward my son, and I can feel what's going to happen, because I can feel how he would shake my shoulders. I can just feel like that's a second away. But I step between them, and I look at my dad with a gentle kind of look, sort of like, "Good morning." Just a silent, gentle wake up. And the elevator ride is silent. And we get off on our floor with a lot to think about. Because my dad had told me so many stories of how mean his dad was. And he knew that he had tried to stop that anger at his generation. So I tried to write this song to tell all of that, to try to understand it, understand what we're trying to do generation to generation, what we're trying to leave behind, not just continue this chain reaction of anger. And I realized I did have to sing this song once. I'd had to sing it for my dad. And it was the start of a great conversation. He said he was able to imagine what would have been different if he could have sung it for his dad.
Wow.
So for the good conversations that can start because of it, I still sing this song. The rage from your past slammed into you hard and fast and made you hit my child who was defenseless. And right then, I cut free all the ties you had to me. But to drag down one more life would just be senseless. I saw in my son's eyes the old confusion and surprise that I once felt when you would roar like thunder. Now I don't care to hear the tales of how your history made you fail, or the cruel iron fist you grew up under. 'Cause now you can't get through. I'm standing right between you two. Love has made me stronger than the fear. And my son shares your name. This is where I'll break the chain. So I will warn you once and make it clear. You rage again and we will disappear. Your father's chain of anger stops right here. No more chains. So now I can see the way it must have been for me as I tear down the facade of your excuses and what's left of you. It's hard to see but must be true, and I don't need to hide from what the truth is. But the times that were the best are now sinking down with all the rest. Cause when you crossed that line is when you lost me. I know your hate will pull you down. To hold to you would make me drown. I have to break your grip, though it will cost me. So now you can't get through. I'm standing right between you two. For love has made me stronger than the fear. And my son shares your name. But this is where I'll break the chain. So I will warn you once and make it clear. Rage again and we will disappear. Your father's chain of anger stops right here. No more chains.
How do you sing that song without turning into a puddle of tears?
Exactly.
My goodness.
Yeah, there
that, that experience of sharing that with your father and your son must have been just an amazing moment to do that the first time.
Well, you see, the beautiful thing about being so shy and being sort of afraid of my own heart, when I started out playing music, it wasn't like I had this deep emotional capacity. It's I had none at all. That's why I've worked to put it into the songs, because it's the songs that have given me that temporary bravery, because I can tell myself, I know I can sing this because I've practiced this.
Yeah.
And this is more brave, more honest than I could ever be. But through a song, I gradually acclimate toward being that brave and sort of having that standard for the rest of my life. And so I am grateful to music because it made it possible for me to imagine being in touch with my own sort of navigation system, my own emotion, my own sense of warmer, colder, you know, that game of finding your goal when you're blindfolded. Warmer, cooler is a way of navigating, you know, what town to live in. What everything about my life is decided by songs. When I was looking for a house, the realtor was confused. Mr. Wilcox, why do you have to bring your guitar? Aren't we just looking at houses? Well, you can look at houses, but it's easy to be fooled. I need to know what it's going to be like, what it's going to feel like to live here.
What's going to sound like?
And the guitar will help with this? Oh, yeah, yeah. I just bring the guitar in, play a few songs. If the songs feel sort of self-conscious or nervous or, you know, like foolish, I know I don't live here.
Yeah. Well, David, your you know, your music certainly is transformational in that way. It helps us touch something deeper within ourselves, and I understand that you're going to go camping this weekend with 50, 60, 70 people who may want to kind of come together and share some of this magic
that
together.
That is true. And it's actually not literally camping. It is a pretty plush accommodation down at Canoga, which is just 20 miles south of here.
Mm-hmm. And from Hendersonville Way?
It's a beautiful conference center. And there is this thing that happens now called the Wilcox Weekend. And it was 10 years ago when it started. And it is a gathering of people who have this music in common and trust that the sort of emotional bravery that they have felt in the music is something they want in their lives. And so we come together to talk about sort of how to sustain your creativity, mm-hmm. how to feel at home in your life, and how to make your life feel like home. It's a lovely gathering, and there's guest musicians. This year, it's Gene Rowe, who you should Google. It's an amazing collection of brave music that she has. And Beth Nilsson Chapman, who is fearless. She's a wonderful songwriter. So we're going to talk about how to be brave and how to live our authentic lives.
I love this. It's May 9th to 12th, but there's an optional bonus day for on May 8th too, to join.
People come.
If you buy the knife set, you get to come on May 8th.
Yeah, yeah. It is a lovely gathering. Do we have time for one more song?
Oh, we'll make it work, David.
Okay. This is a song that describes a way of wrapping a present that I gave to my son. I describe it as if it happened to me. Because what it's really about is my love of finding that treasure in our lives. The longest lasting present that I ever received was nestled in the branches of the Christmas tree. I opened all the wrappings, but all that I could see was a spool of thread tangled in a mystery. The spool was all but empty, with writing wrapped around that said, "If you follow after, there's a treasure to be found." The string no one had noticed was stretched across the floor, behind the kitchen table to the door. It snaked beside the railing and down the backyard steps. The string went to the basement, but I saw no present yet. Behind a stack of boxes with a musty kind of smell, this had to be the big one, as far as I could tell. But then the string went further, I had to stand up tall. It hung above the workbench along the basement wall and out the open window, so I had to walk around. But right beside the garden shed I found. The string went down the hillside behind the new garage, hidden in the tall grass, the perfect camouflage. And clear beyond the garden, behind a line of trees, a bicycle was waiting for me. The present was forgotten, the bike was soon too small. It wasn't quite the prize that I was after all. But the wandering ways of wonder, now that's the real thing. A present that is present when I'm following the string. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
My pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming down and joining me here on Living Well, and thank you for all that you're doing in our community and the world.
Thank you. If folks are curious about that Wilcox weekend, you can go on my website, which is davidwilcox.com.
All right. All right. What a special, special Living Well. And you can join me next week on Monday, May 13th, when my guest will be transformational coach Barbara Brady, who works across cultures to guide global leaders, high potential employees, and other professionals to maximize fulfillment. Next up on Asheville FM is live transmission with Kat, who plays a variety of new and old music you won't find on the average FM dial. So until next Monday, I wish my listeners a wonderful week of living well. And to take us out, I'd like to play one last song from David's new album, The View from the Edge, called Infinity Pool. Enjoy. Well, David, Infinity Pool is giving me a little bit of a trouble here. It's the last track on your album, right?
Transition from the bliss of playing music to going back to your little life.
Well, I do like this. Imagining you swimming in infinity through the galaxy. There's something about that.
I hit my mark, a spotlight shines. I wait one beat, I speak the lines. The story builds, the stage is mine. The show is on a roll. I weave a spell, a perfect set. My shirt clings close, I feel the sweat. My time on stage to strut and fret with all my heart and soul. The moment comes, I raise a fist, I make that turn, the clever twist. I have to smile, I can't resist, and suddenly it's through. I'm walking back, I skipped the ride. The street is full, the sky is wide. My muscles ache, I'm satisfied. I know what I must do. The lights of this city are shimmering jewels. The grace of this weightlessness breaks all the rules. Beneath this bright starlight, this water feels cool. As I swim the infinity pool. Room, my second skin, the place inside I've always been. An emptiness to fill again. I'm better at it now. This rooftop view, the starlight sea, the skyline's bright cacophony. My siren song, that symphony, the traffic and the crowd. The lights of this city are shimmering jewels. The grace of this weightlessness breaks all the rules. Beneath this bright starlight, this water feels cool. As I swim the the infinity, swim the infinity pool.
Listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville, and this is the concert and entertainment calendar for Monday, May 6th. Jamestown Revival is at the Gray Eagle. UNCA Jazz and Contemporary Ensembles are at the Mothlight. There's a Bluegrass Jam at the Upcountry Brewing. Boris Pellick is at the Sly Grog. Student Voices Art Show Early, followed by Female Comedian Lineup, is at the Block Off Biltmore. And May Residency is at the local 604 Bottle Shop. Tonight at the movies, the Fine Arts Theater is showing Ask Dr. Ruth and Amazing Grace. The Grail Movie House is showing Avengers Endgame, The Mustang, and Hail Satan. And Asheville Pizza and Brewing is showing How to Train Your Dragon 3, The Hidden World, and The Upside. The concert and entertainment calendar.